This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to Market Talk. As we start to count down to the holiday season, we'll be spotlighting last week's very strong UK inflation numbers, asking what's behind last week's fall in the oil price, and wondering what flash European PMI numbers could look like in light of renewed European coronavirus lockdowns. In a nod to some really exciting rugby matches over the weekend, tackling the questions is me, Frances Watson, and converting them with ease and precision, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I didn't watch the rugby, but I did watch the Formula One. That's getting exciting too.
Oh, it was an exciting weekend of sport, wasn't it? Now, to keep up the sporting analogy, should we kick off then with those very juicy UK inflation and labour market figures and the reaction in short-dated gilts?
Yeah, if you remember a couple of weeks ago now, the Bank of England didn't hike rates contrary to expectations. And they said we needed to wait for labour market data to tell them whether or not the economy is strong enough. Well, as you said, we have labour market data, which was fine, but at the very least, it demonstrated that there wasn't downside risk because the furlough had ended. It was good enough, I think good enough for the Bank of England to hike rates in the December meeting. And also the inflation data. And inflation has just been surprising to the upside almost globally for the last few months. And it was another upward surprise in the UK inflation numbers. The old-fashioned RPI indicator for inflation, 6%. Year on year. So that's, punchy numbers. On that basis, you could even argue that the Bank of England maybe made a mistake not hiking in November, and that, you know, they're going to have to play catch up in December and beyond that. So that, I think that has led to most market participants, most investors now really believing that a December hike is on the cards. So that's an early Christmas present for everyone.
Looks like it, doesn't it? And from Christmas presents to holiday mode in the US, of course, with Thanksgiving Day on Thursday and markets closed there. But looks like the US consumer is in holiday mood already with those October retail sales, Ben.
We had retail sales and we had industrial production last week from the US, and both were pretty strong. We also get a slew of data on Wednesday. As you say, the US is closer. They bring forward some of their data that was going to be later on in the week onto Wednesday. So we're going to get some inflation data, core PCE data, and we'll get some sentiment indicators as well out of the US. And generally, US data has been pretty good. Consumers are still spending, despite, I think, everyone grumbling about inflation. As I said, they're still spending. So the data has been pretty good. I think the Federal Reserve has been justified in tapering their quantitative easing, which they decided to do so in November. And our economists think that if anything, they will have to speed up that pace of withdrawing support in the next few months because the economy is going great. There's nothing really to worry about at the minute. Even with what we've seen in a bit of an upsurge in virus levels, it's still, people are still out there spending and should be a pretty bumper holiday season.
And very different in the US from the scene, sadly, in Europe, where we saw quite a lot of violence over the weekend. And obviously, cases, COVID cases in Austria, Netherlands, spiraling. I mean, really, really on the charts, really going up very fast, with obvious implications for European growth if we do go into wider lockdowns again.
That's right. I mean, if you think about 12 months ago when Europe as a whole, a lot of Europe went into proper lockdowns. We are in a much better position today than 12 months ago, just purely from a vaccination perspective. And, you know, I'm certainly not an expert in vaccination, but if you just look at the headline figures, Austria, which is the one that has announced a surprise lockdown, is lagging a little bit in the proportion of the population that is vaccinated. So maybe you could say that's one of the reasons why they're having a bad time of it. And you might be able to say that the UK has got a better vaccination rate, and possibly more of the population have had COVID over the last 12 months, so have got some sort of natural immunity. But that said, we don't really know the equation there. But what we do know is we are in a much better position than 12 months ago. So I would expect some more isolated lockdowns. Maybe we'll get a couple more countries, but I don't think the economic impact will be as bad as this time last year. And frankly, we're all a bit more used to it now, aren't we? So we're all more used to ordering online and spending money rather than going out to restaurants. I think it'll be a lot better than it was.
Okay, well, that's good news on that front. But what was last week's drop in the oil price telling us then, Ben? I mean, what's going on there? It rallied a little bit today, but there was a sharp fall, wasn't there, in oil last week?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, oil has had an amazing run, so I mean, you don't see prices go up and up and up forever. There's always a bit of a consolidation at some level. So, but perhaps some of that's going on. And then politicians have got their eye on all commodities, actually, not just oil. But you're looking at things like natural gas as well, and thinking that these price increases are somehow a tax on their population. So maybe trying to moderate that. We've seen President Biden call for potentially releasing some of their strategic reserves and asking other countries to do the same as well. And also last week, maybe there was a concern about the European growth outlook for the reasons we were just discussing. So potentially there's a demand angle as well. So on those three things, you've seen commodities come off a little bit. But yeah, they, like I said, they've been strong all year. And unless we were to get a proper lockdown, I wouldn't have thought necessarily we'd continue to see this big correction.
Okay, and talking of strong, we've seen another rise in the dollar over last week. You mentioned in last week's market talk about the impact on emerging markets. Are there any other implications of a rising dollar, Ben?
Yeah, well, let's go back to what's been causing the rising dollar. I think it's to do with the Federal Reserve tightening policy, interest rates in the US going up, which is attracting money back to the US. I think that probably continues next year, that general trend, doesn't it? So that better dollar. And on the other side, we've got the euro, which is the other massive currency block. And potentially with what we've been talking about from a COVID perspective, you might also expect at the margin that maybe monetary policy would be a bit looser, all other things considered. And on that basis, again, that would be dollar positive. I think that the main driver is really that issue for emerging markets, and we'll see if that continues. But so far, it's been very isolated. It's only been a couple of idiosyncratic stories like Turkish currency, etc. So you know, let's not overblow what is currently a small move. But yeah, in 6 months' time, it could be more aggressive, and we could be a little bit more worried about parts of emerging markets.
Okay, well let's concentrate on this week now. As I said, US Thanksgiving Day on Thursday, and that's the biggie, isn't it? But we do get some flash PMI sentiment indicators. What are we looking for there in terms of, I guess, supply disruptions?
Yeah, frankly, they haven't been great at telling us what economic activity has been like. I mean, it's sentiment. And I think people's sentiment has been totally all over the place over the last couple of years. It's so hard to benchmark yourself to a normal existence when COVID is going on, isn't it? So the actual numbers haven't been that useful. But as you say, what has been much more useful has been the prices paid subcomponents to these indices. And it's telling us about supply disruptions. There's some tentative signs we're hearing from a few companies that the extreme issues that we've seen in, for example, computer chips are easing a little bit. I think it's going to be really hard to see anything too positive from that basis this side of Christmas, because a lot of people are front loading their purchases of presents, aren't they? And normally this is a huge period for retail sales and purchases and all that sort of stuff. So I imagine that supply constraints are still going to be an issue for the next few weeks, like I said, up until the Christmas holiday season is over. But then maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel into next year in terms of those extreme inflationary signs. But I don't think we're going to see that this week in the PMI sentiment indicators. I think that we're still going to see quite a lot of stress in those indicators.
Okay, I just wanted, as a quick aside, Ben, before we go on to your number for the week, to talk about value stocks, because the headline in some of the papers today has been, you know, global bank stocks have done particularly well this year, particularly the US. But on the other side of the pond, European transport stocks in particular, just looking again at, you know, cruise lines, airlines, really a very disappointing performance. Is that in the price, or is the renewed COVID caseload. Is that already in the price in your view?
It's been a funny year, actually. I mean, it's sort of changed halfway through the year. The beginning of the year, we saw value stocks doing pretty well. And maybe some of those growth stocks, like the technology sector, for example, that had previously done extremely well during the virus, they took a bit of a back seat. But then over the last couple of months, we've seen the rise again of technology. And maybe some of these value stocks not doing quite as well as previously had hoped. I've seen research reports that suggest that this is investors maybe not buying into the recovery as much as they should be doing. You know, that they're worried that, you know, that central banks will hike interest rates and will cut the recovery off very quickly. And maybe that is the dynamic playing out here. And if the recovery is a bit stronger, then maybe we'll get a bit more growth out of those areas that have been lagging a bit, as you say. So it probably is all to do with the recovery next year and whether or not the Federal Reserve is choking off that recovery too soon.
And that seems to be the key dynamic as we head into 2022, or at least one of them. That's interesting. But equally interesting is your number for the week. So what have you chosen for us this week and why?
Well, funny enough, I was looking at equity markets and I was looking at performance because, I mean, the S&P 500 has had such an amazing year, isn't it? Some of the outlooks for 2022 are coming out from the investment banks, and typically they're talking about 10% returns for some of the big equity indices, and that's generally what they always say. But the S&P 500 is up 20-odd% this year so far, but my number's actually 36, because that's how much the S&P 500 has outperformed the Hang Seng here in China over the last year up until last Friday's close, 36%. So it's not just that you've got to get equities right, but you've got to get the right index as well. It's just amazing some of the numbers that have been coming out. And as you said as well, you've also got to pick the right sectors and even then the right names.
That's phenomenal, isn't it? Is that one for the active managers then?
Yeah, active managers and also the big asset allocators. If you can get the big decisions right, you know, you can make some serious money as well.
Great. Well, Ben, as ever, thanks so much for your time and thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of Legal and General Investment Management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, LGIM.com.